Welcome to the Birth Warrior Podcast. In each episode, we feature the stories of birth warriors, women who have persevered to find their own truth in pregnancy and birth. As you hear these women share their stories of love, autonomy, connection, and power, it is our deepest wish that you will be inspired, empowered, and supported to find your own truth. We are honored these women have stepped forward to share their personal stories and to help us remember that we all have the power to choose what is right for us. The Birth Warrior Podcast is a presentation of the Indie Birth Association and is not intended to be medical advice.
Amber, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Yes, absolutely. So from reading your very beautiful and powerful story, it seems as though your birth journey began 6 months before your son was actually conceived, when you closed down your business and sold your house and gifted most of your belongings. So I was hoping you would be kind enough to start there in our story.
Okay. It really was, for me, it was a continuing journey of my own trance, my own kind of working with the void, working with the voidal mothers, working and kind of going into that space. So the fact that I was pregnant and had never had a child, obviously, and traveling in those ways, all of the places that I was going and apprenticing with different ones and teaching, I was bringing some of my work and healing arts to different places, but it was just a journey with literally a blindfold. And so my pregnancy was also part of connecting with spirit, the spirit in my womb, mm-hmm. which is something that I do work with women and star seeds and connecting. So he was already a part of my journey. Mm-hmm. So this, even before he was in my womb, I had always had dreams and here, but he was 44. He was not a baby, you know? So this is where there's these kind of these worlds blend. And that's a very normal part of my journey. And the pregnancy was very much, because I had been working in the States with women, during their pregnancies, through massage, through cranial sacral work and things, I never saw anybody having natural births. They were all going to the hospital. And so my own journey was more my own little mission of saying, okay, I want to see how this is done in other countries and places that my own bloodline resonated with, and literally just following the star seed in my womb and my mother wit, and activating. One of the places I went was South Africa, and the Sangomas in South Africa believe firmly that every human being has two minds. You have the mother mind and you have the warrior mind. And so even traveling and being pregnant, I was constantly aware of my mother wit. I call it mother wit because that's, you know, but it's mm-hmm. the two minds. And then also being in all of these different places, all of these different energies, I was very much aware of how to contain my space, even being out of my comfort zone, out of being, you know, out of the States, and doing even healing work in the ways that I was doing it. So it was literally just the living trance. I did not read any books. I didn't want any books. I didn't want any information. So again, it was my own experiment that I can't necessarily encourage other people to do. You have to, you know, listen to what that is for self. But for me, I felt completely guided, and then met different Sangomas, different seers, traditional healers, and I got to witness in those ways things that really resonated with my own spirit. So that took me to, was Ghana, Ethiopia, South Africa, and then by the time that I arrived in Bali, that's where I decided to stay. And even that was unplanned. I mean, I knew that I was going to go to Bali, but I was literally just studying Hindu trance and things more relating to those arts. Mm-hmm. But I decided to stay. So hence, everything was moment to moment and feeling mm-hmm. what my mother wit and what felt the most resonant, and where, even the land, you know, him choosing to come in in Indonesia. I mean, I'm not from Indonesia, but it was literally, and that became our home for years, for 4 years. So,
and where was it? It was, I have this written down somewhere, Lumbung Damu. Yes.
Yeah, Lumbung Damu.
Lumbung Damu.
It's a Balinese rice barn, and it's the woman that I met, everyone that I met along the journey, there was so much synchronicity. And I think sometimes when we are in our normal life, it's not that it doesn't happen, but when you're really kind of blind and moving in ways, you see how you are so supported. And so even the illusions, even insurance, it was the first time in years after having this practice, I had so much insurance at, you know, business insurance, homeowners insurance. I had all these health insurance, but traveling pregnant was this, okay, well, that doesn't really apply because I'm not going to be, you know, all of the places that you're going. So me finding and meeting Tanya, a beautiful soul sister, she was totally open to me having the birth experience that I wanted. And I knew, because I also do so much work in spirit and in the ethers, I knew I didn't want any other energies there. I knew for me, that's where the peace with, I mean, I don't know that it was called free birth. It was just, I knew I didn't, I wanted my spirit guides. I wanted the energy really clean. With him coming in, and I had support though if I needed it. So I mean, even, you know, at Lumbung Damu, there was a phone call away. I could have, you know, and there was the other part of that too. There were other midwives. This is also something I think part of the journey too, that I met, even though they're midwives. And this is where I think even for our sisters in the community, you have to listen to your mother wit, because even if someone is a midwife, you may not, that mother wit warrior mind may say, I don't know why, but this person, no, I do not want them in space. So a lot of our birth story and those things were very, I had different experiences coming in those ways. And now the woman, which she's shared this publicly, so I know I'm not breaching anything, but she had some really traumatic birth experiences. And so even her opening her home and wanting to support our birth, every time she came into the room, I could feel and see what had happened during her births. And so that's also one of the pieces of sharing with women, that even if you don't know why, you have to honor it. There was another midwife as well who was a beautiful sister, and she had just come back from Aceh. It was after the earthquake, and she said, do you want me to come? And I said, no, I'll call you if I need you. And even her spirit, who she's amazing, but she's a midwife and her phone is on all the time. And it is, there's a lot of births. Sometimes there's a lot of people calling. So I knew it was about protecting the space. And I think it's probably more in sync with who I am. I do tend to be, I'm very much out and in villages and doing different things. But then when it comes to my own stuff, I come in and I like not a whole lot going on. So I just think it's a huge piece in even sometimes family members, sometimes people, I have women that will say, well, I don't really want my sister-in-law there, or I don't, you know, Indonesia, there's a whole lot of in-laws and people, they just crowd outside, you know, it's kind of custom. And then having the voice to use your mother wit, your warrior mind that also says no. And this is the space. And so I think that's part of the sovereignty with women and being able to claim that space wherever they are. And to feel the support, because that's where, again, there was not any drama in any of those situations. It was just, I knew I needed to be on my own. And again, the fact that there's, which I think everybody has, I don't even think the seeing and some of the other things in the spirit world, I think it's becoming really, really normal. And I think women in general are starting to feel that as well. That's like, you pick up things, you're feeling things. There's an intuition that's so heightened that if we don't listen, it can be to our own detriment. And I even had a few experiences even with, in that journey. I remember even just before I decided to go to Lumbungdabu, which was on the ocean. So it was, there was in the last week where I was near the birthing center, which again, I had an option to birth there if I wanted to, but there was too much. There were too many things going on, too many people. And while I was in this ashram, there was a beautiful, sweet sister, I think from Norway, who had just had, I didn't know it at the time, but every time she came into my field, and she was so sweet, she was so beautiful in her being, but every time she came into my field and she would put her hand on my belly, I felt fire and grief and sadness. Mm. And I remember saying to her, I said, I don't know what it is. I have no idea. And I didn't, you know, I don't typically just step into somebody's space if I don't have permission, but I knew when her energy was coming towards me, what I felt. And I said, I just need to ask for some space, because we were living in the same ashram. We had, you know, shared house. Mm-hmm. And it was months after, you know, my son was already born. I then met her in town in Ubud. And she had shared that she had just come from and had an abortion. And she, it was something that was powerful. There's no judgment. But what was happening during our exchanges is that all of her energy and her grief, and which is fantastic. I still work with ones in all kinds of dynamics. But in that moment, my mother wit, warrior mind was like, get your hand away from my belly. So I didn't want it in my field, because, but it was just energy, you know, which is, again, it's not good or bad, but I do think our birth stories is about really just kind of listening. And even if we don't know why, and it's beautiful to have the full circle moments to be able to kind of bring the story later, or even, you know, even like I said, where he was born, I had so much support, but I knew certain ones had different things coming up in their field. And I think women, and especially pregnant women, are so attuned and aware, and their star seeds in their womb are communicating.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so we need not know anything. We need not know anything before the moment happens, you know, I mean, in our interactions, and then, you know, the birth itself.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think too, it's just when we are pregnant, I've only been pregnant once myself, is that we are just so, we're attuned, and just everything is so much more heightened and magnified, our senses. And yeah, it is kind of a very, you know, yeah, it is a part of my body. And, you know, everyone, pregnant or not, their bodies are sacred temples and sacred spaces. But then there's another life inside. And I think, you know, I don't know if this is a Western thing or if this is just a world thing where, and I'm not saying that this was the sister at the ashram, but just people just have this, I don't know if it's entitlement either, but they just want to touch your belly and rub your belly with no thought of the transfer of energy, I guess, like from them, just because it's, you know, it's just this, pregnant women are just this beautiful, luscious, vibrant, like goddess energy. And it's just exuberant. And I mean, it's unmistakably exuberant. And it's just so magnetic as well when you are in the presence of another pregnant woman. But yeah, to just feel like you are somehow on the same plane in attunement, and then also to put your energy of whatever it is you picked up from the day, the year, the week, whatever, onto that baby is just, you know, I wish people had more of an insight about that, you know.
And anyway, boundaries, and this,
yeah,
is
where so many boundaries when,
yeah, and we're speaking about sovereignty, and so this is where even in that, it's then for the women to say, okay, honor my space in whatever way. Because I agree. I wish everybody would have that understanding that it's not you. It's also, even with children, I don't think anybody really has the right to just go. I mean, they're beings. And so in that, I do think it's important.
Absolutely.
But I think it's having to come from our own voices sometimes. saying that. And then it doesn't have to be, because you, I mean, you've probably experienced that too, where ones will then share their horror stories. I mean, yes. I'm welcoming someone then just seeing me in the grocery store line and then unloading all of their stuff. And the fact that it happens even outside of words too, you can feel it. And that's where there's things, that's where some, I think the seen and unseen for me has always been part of that. But in this, you know, in real time reality, many people feel entitled. I think you said the word, that's totally true. They feel entitled.
I feel very entitled.
And it
strikes
up whatever comes up, and it can be, and a lot of times it is not always pleasant, beautiful stories. And so I think that's, you know, the warrior mind kind of saying, no, thanks.
Exactly. Nope.
And I have had those experiences where I literally said, stop. It's not for me. That's not for me, you know, because that is, and that's part of us kind of getting through some of those pieces where we're not trying, I don't care if it's a midwife, a friend, family, something, we are allowed to use our voices and say, in this moment, no, please respect my space and boundaries. I think it's important. It's, and I think our kids ask for that too from us, because, you know.
Yeah. I mean, and you touched upon it exactly. I mean, another thing I feel like is so culturally ingrained, especially in Western society, is the fact that, you know, the kids are expected to reciprocate the energy, the quote unquote positive energy back in the form of a tangible action of like a hug or a kiss, like, oh, give grandma a hug, give grandma a kiss. And it's all well-intentioned. It's all very, you know, it's all very innocent, but it's still, if they don't want to give that energy, it shouldn't be forced, you know, because then what does that teach them about other people's boundaries?
Exactly. And this is why I think even our paths and learning and reclaiming our sovereignty, you know, just in general, pregnant or not, but our sovereign, our bodies, our beings, and then that's being passed, because the children automatically have those sensors too. And again, in some of the work that I do when I'm working with women, there's stories and there's pieces that are coming through that literally the children, there's things that they're picking up, and it may be like, oh, well, I see him, he's the uncle, and da, da, da. But there can be a whole lot of other stuff that this child is picking up saying, I don't want to give him a hug, and he shouldn't be forced to because he's reading. And that's where we start to kind of get trained out of, oh, just, no, it's me. You know what I mean?
Totally.
It's a good idea to honor our own sovereignty and then help to pass that on to the kids, because they're their own beings.
Yeah, absolutely. And I loved this side tangent, by the way. It was a great side tangent to go on.
This is what happens when sisters talking, though, and we just kind of, but it's still to me, that's, I mean, even the, if we're talking about, okay, the birth story, okay, but there's all these other pieces that are part of it. And I do think it's, I don't know.
It's all interconnected for sure. And it's all relevant. It's all spiralic, I guess, and all, yeah. It's all there. But on the birth story, though, because it was an absolutely beautiful, powerful, amazing birth story to read. Please, I would love to hear it. If you could go into that.
Okay. Well, the when I went into when my waters released, I think it was probably about 6 PM, and I felt fantastic. And since I didn't have a lot in my head about what I should be experiencing, I literally was able to just kind of flow with it. And so I remember going to dinner with a sister friend and then another midwife who is someone that I knew even energetically was, I didn't want her at the birth, but they were friends, you know? And so we had dinner and times just kind of, you know, I could feel it when I wanted to retreat. So I think the beginning of it, and this was another piece again, this particular midwife, which is why I speak to some of these things too. This is why I think it's important. Mm-hmm. She had attended so many births and had this like kind of rock star energy in her own being. And I remember her saying to me when my waters released, she's like, she goes, No, it'll be many, many years. It's going to take a long time. Like, I mean, you know what I mean? How when people, it's like there should always be that innocence of, because you don't know. And no. That even her, and when we were speaking in those, about things that even her, she was saying about, I see myself being on my own. And she goes, oh, I wanted that too. I wanted that too. And I didn't have that. My husband and then my mother-in-law. And then she was going on with her horror story. So for me, even in telling the stories, I still think it's important that regardless of who it is, we have to kind of separate from that. And now if I had had insecurity and said, this is my birth and made a compromise to have her energy there. The other sister that I was with was fantastic. It was maybe just her energy, but the energy in that way, I knew it was, again, to retreat. And so we had dinner. It was a beautiful dinner, and that was beautiful, but went back to Lumbung Dalmu. I took a lot of showers. They have this beautiful bamboo, and it was like a heavy pressure, you know? So, I mean, I had lots of water and I walked on the beach, and just retreated. And then even the ones that were there in the house, I mean, they would kind of, you know, do you need anything? Are you all right? But they really just gave me my space. And again, because I do so much in, you know, seen and unseen realms, I had so many spirit midwives, and Miss Margaret was one of my midwives. I finally made it to the bathtub. The water was already cold because I had used all the hot water in the showers. I had him in the tub. And I did feel that's part of the birth story too, because even in that, I kind of got to play with, when I laid down, I felt everything kind of pause, you know, at a certain stage. Yeah. I felt everything like I was like, oh, this is nice. This is okay. But once I would actually kind of rise and kind of like sit up and kind of squatting in those ways, everything started moving. So I even was playing with the energies that I could kind of play with it a little bit. Like I was like, oh, well, this feels good. I could just stay like this for a while. And then actually, you know, rising to meet it, meet the expansions. If I said contractions, let's change that out of my word, but the expansions, you know, to rise to meet them, because it was literally, but it's that where you would want to kind of, oh, either I'm going to pull back from it or rise into it. And I had never, like I said, I hadn't read, I maybe read a few birth stories from some book that someone gave me. I remember reading a couple birth stories. And then again, as I had traveled, but the experiences in those places, they don't have all of the language around it. It's so normal. It's like, it's all part of, it's all part of life. It isn't so much, okay, this is, and so you could literally be enjoying your day. Even like how I said, I went to dinner and I was like, okay, I wasn't like, okay, now I'm waiting on edge. It was like continuing life as usual. And, I didn't know about, orgasmic birth until I had my son. So that was definitely his grand entrance. I was floored because there was obviously the intensity and the pain, but there was also then all of a sudden this huge release and orgasm, which I never knew was possible. And so I think also in that, there's a part of me that believes that that's also, there can be an anchoring that happens as well. I could feel also energetically the space was really clear, because it's also an intimacy, because I'm not one to have sex with a whole bunch of people in the room. So maybe even the fact that I had the space and privacy and no knowledge of it, because, you know, if we try for something, we're like, okay, I'm gonna, and we have all this stuff. I think the blindness, or not knowing what to expect and just going with each expansion in those ways was perfect, you know? And I did write about it in the story too, that my only moment of really intense fear was when his head came out and it was under the water, and I was like, he can't breathe. He can't breathe. But it was this pause, and that's when Miss Margaret came in, and she's like, hey, just relax and wait for the next expansion. And then, because I mean, if I would have really freaked out, I could have torn more, or had, I didn't tear at all, but I mean, I could have had more if there's that kind of panic. And again, even beyond the birth, I think it goes back to even with women, that it's like, even if you have one supporting you, if your body is saying, and you feel to just kind of ride those waves and do different things, outside voices, including, you know, ones around, they may get excited. So even at that point, that could have gone really fast if someone around was saying, okay, almost, and then feeling this need to push it versus just to relax and wait for the next expansion. And he came out. And then after we had, you know, cooked the placenta, and I do have a cat side of myself. So that, again, was a very primal thing to ingest it, you know, and then the part that looked not so great went into the ocean. But it was a great refuel.
I was curious, because when I read that part about Miss Margaret in your story, I immediately went to a visual of Margaret Charles Smith. That's exactly
yeah, and you saw cool. And it was, and like, listen to me good, and even the way she speaks, and it was kind of like, because she's like, girl, relax, like, I mean, it was just this really, and it wasn't, that's where, again, I, for the some of the guides that I work with, I mean, they speak to me like how we would speak, or they have their tones, and the way that she spoke to me in that moment, she's like, you know, he wasn't breathing in your belly, relax, which even again, it's like, you think it's like, oh yeah, you're right. And so it snapped me out of it in order to be able to kind of return to the moment, and then not sit there and try to, you know, push the rest of his body out because I'm afraid of whatever. So it was a beautiful dispelling of fear. And I loved her. Yes. I loved her presence. Which is why, too, I say I was physically alone, but I wasn't, you know. Yeah. And again, that's where, you know, the voidal mothers, and then again, some of the ones that were present with me, which again, I think most people have their entourage, their A-team of, you know, angels, ancestors, spirit guides, whatever, whoever's there, but depending upon what's going on in the space, it can make it a little bit harder to attune to. So I felt really, really grateful. And it was such an amazing womb surround, even his, you know, that being his entry point and our first beginnings, and even learning about motherhood. And I had never bathed a baby. I had never, like, in the sense of, in my own experience, I babysat and had other experiences, obviously, in life, but in the sense, I was surrounded by village with mothers and ones who showed me what to do. So my path was definitely kind of on the job training and apprenticing, and that went from obviously in my own body, and then also with birth, and then after people, mamas showed me.
Do you still attend births in Germany, where you are now?
No, my time here has been totally to really to recalibrate and to write the book. So of A Sojourner's Truth, the way that I serve and support women now is through and families, because it's even beyond pregnancy, but it's spiritual midwifery. I do transmissions with starseeds. So a lot of women are having dreams and their soul linking with their star seeds and wanting to connect deeper. So I get messages from, and so I do that from home.
Beautiful.
Recorded, you know, but otherwise I've been in the forest, and even in the States, I was not attending births in the States. I was prenatal massage therapist. So my aspect of working with them was throughout their pregnancy, after and before and after, and sometimes, you know, through different kids, but I was not, I was never licensed, and it was never something that I ever pursuit. And I actually, even to coming to Germany, I loved having my tree sisters in the backyard with the Black Forest and the peace, because a lot of my journey really for the past 15 years has been very much in many different lands, many different places, and different aspects of some of behind birth too. This is where I, you know, it's not even just birthing. Sometimes it is with loss and miscarriages, different things, and different, I call it the underground railroad, because there's different things that are going on in different countries. And so the ones that would find me and I was able to support them. But now I'm doing just from a distance sessions with people. So linking with star seeds and constantly having the conversations about returning to our sovereignty, you know, and I mean, because it is, it's who we are, and so all of it, and that affects every aspect of who we be and our lives, and that doesn't, I think it can be profound and a great awakening in pregnancy, but then after, we get to continue it, because that's what we're modeling too for our kids and our community. And even if we're not pregnant and someone comes up to us and wants to kind of come in there and their energy field and something feels not so right, we have, you know, our voices to say, please, need a little space. Back up.
Back up. Oh. Well, Amber, thank you so much. This was, again, I loved reading your story. It was, and just now hearing it, just hearing you retell it, I'm kind of high right now, like from that story.
And it's the weaving. I also love even in our depths, because this is also our minds. We go all directions.
Absolutely.
We go all over the place, but there is a weaving that comes always back, and it really is a remembering of our connection as women, our seated sovereign being. Yeah, and it's, and this is why it is, I will always walk and serve with women. I mean, I really, it's just changed form. And this is why even in our conversation, I still get to connect with ones, and but I don't have to be running around all and getting on a lot of planes and going into so many different villages. So I'm really grateful.
Cool. Oh, so am I. So thank grateful you. For you. So yeah, is there any parting words of wisdom that you would like to leave our listeners with, or any just thoughts?
I think the biggest thing, which was in the beginning, about really remembering our mother wit and our warrior mind, and that it's necessary. And I think even beyond the pregnancy, we have to have both of those minds, which actually, as multidimensional beings, we have more. We have more minds, but those two need to be activated, because we know what is meant for us in each moment. And so having the freedom to use our voices and connect with the star seeds, that's where too, they're literally these amazing spirit beings that have, they're running their own signals as well. So I think it's really important to really embrace pregnancy and beyond, the connection with ourselves and then our star seeds, and knowing that that way of communicating is totally normal. Totally normal.
Oh, thank you so much. And for our listeners, we are, every podcast guest that I have on the Birth Warrior podcast, I have them write a 2 to 3 sentence bio that I record after our initial recording. And Amber has this beautiful activation. I think it's about 4 minutes long, 6 minutes
two
long.
Minutes.
2 minutes. Oh, 2 minutes long. And yeah, I invite you to just continue on listening and to just really just drink in those words and just really just sit with them in your being and just, you know, take it in. It's just so, it's so beautiful. Yeah, I can't thank you enough for those words, for you. And yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you. Have a beautiful day.
You too.
They told you about the contractions, but did they tell you about the expansion? Did they tell you how your body would open to make way for the whole universe to pass through? Did they tell you how your heart would explode with a love bigger than anything you've ever known as you pulled your baby to your chest? They told you about the ring of fire, but did they tell you about the crown of stars? Did they mention that there's a moment when your baby enters the world and you leave your body and touch the heavens and become the light of a million galaxies? Did they tell you how the pain of stretching to receive your child would be more exquisite than any sensation you felt? They told you you would scream, but did they tell you how you would roar? Did they tell you about the power that would rise up from your belly as you called your baby forth with your mighty voice? Did they tell you how you would embody the wild woman within you and breathe fire with your song? They told you that you would bleed, but did they tell you that that sacred blood wouldn't scare you? How you would feel grateful for that magical liquid of life as it trickled down your leg? How you would honor its flow, and how it would help you heal a lifetime of hating your body's bleeding cycles? They told you these stories, taught you to fear birth, to fear your power, to fear yourself. But you are stronger and wiser than that, Mama. You know that birth is your divine dance, your soul's song, your moment with God, and you walk fearlessly into her open arms.
Thank you so much for listening. Storytelling is a profound agent of change, one that has the ability to plant seeds of inspiration, introspection, and beyond. If you have an empowering birth story that you would like to share on our podcast, please head over to indiebirth.org/birthwarrior to send your submissions. That's indiebirth.org/birthwarrior. Hope you have a beautiful week wherever you are in the world. Until next time, friends.